everyone. Welcome to Screen Boy Podcast, episode number 19. And if you are listening to us live on YouTube, we thank you very much, but you're probably not because I once again forgot to do any social media advertising for going live. Oh my gosh, I'm awesome. So we are here and we're just going to chill out a little bit, just like last episode. We're going to talk a little bit and hang out, and I've got Jesse with me tonight.
And, good evening.
Yes, Jesse, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, man. See, I don't even wait for you to say, "Hey, Jesse, how you doing?" I just hopped right in there,
buddy. That's awesome.
You can't expect any less.
No, I mean, you know, otherwise you wouldn't be Jesse.
That's right. That's right. My gosh, are we going to BS tonight?
Yes, a little bit. A little bit. I mean, right. We've got a slight format, but nothing really, a couple of topics, but nothing mm-hmm. nothing really important. But so I thought we would just sit around the old microphone for a while and just talk and see where the evening takes us.
Well, that sounds
a little too romantic.
this is my second podcast in the new basement here.
Yeah.
Trying to get my bearings on. The last time we were doing the Legion. It was me, you, and Mark and Josh where we did the Legion podcast for the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network.
I sound like I didn't know what I was talking about at all.
Well, so I was, you know, we don't know the acoustics of this house very well. I got a smaller basement. And anyway, I've been toying with the idea of soundproofing. Have you ever thought about doing anything like that?
Yes, absolutely. In my upstairs, right now, I'm in my chair in my downstairs, and so in my upstairs office, which I'm working on right now. Yeah, I'm putting some shelving up and getting my. I'm trying to be an adult and have an adult house, so I'm keeping all my nerd stuff secluded to one room. So that's going to be my office.
I got you.
Yeah, so I'm working on it. So I thought about throwing some sound panels up and to kind of just soundproof in that room.
What's your what kind of material? What kind of stuff are you going to use? I mean, what? I have no idea I've got a theory on what I'm going to do, but I'd like to know. Wait, is this stuff that you buy, or how does this work?
I don't know. I'm going to Google it and go from there.
That's the best place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. I've learned a lot from Google in the past. A good friend of mine. Oh yeah, a good friend of mine, Josh Gresham. He actually he was a youth pastor at the time, and he had some of us over, and we were doing this planning thing for a college ministry we were involved in, and he had some pizzas, and. From like Little Caesars or somewhere. So we were all sitting around. We had this pizza on this nice conference table. I mean, this thing is super nice. And we were just, you know, planning out the year and the whole thing. And then when we picked the pizza boxes up, we noticed that it left a white mark on the pizza or on the table. And like I said, this was a super nice table. Yeah, it was a heat mark, you know.
And, boy, I've got a story about one of those. I've got to tell the story after you're done, but continue.
Oh, absolutely. So immediately we're like, we're all going to die, you know, basically because this thing is, you know, this is a super nice table. And so he was just sitting there and he said, this is going to, you know, he said, this sounds ridiculous, but I prayed about it. And immediately, Google it came into my head.
Oh my
he was
gosh.
Like, he's like, God told me to Google it. And I truly believe that. And so he Googled it and he took an iron and some towels and just ran an iron over with, you know, over the towels. I think it was like damp towels or something.
Okay.
And, it took that mark right out of it. So, from then on, I've been, an advocate for, Googling anything I don't know.
Oh, my gosh, man. Well, so back in the mid 90s. Okay, this is before Google.
Yeah.
This is before my access to any type of like computer. Okay, here's how this works. So we go down to Florida to go visit my grandfather, and I take a friend of mine by the name of Nate. We head down there, and we're going to stay a week at my grandfather's house along with my parents. Now, me and Nate were probably about like 14 or 15 years old, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
We're kind of hanging out of the house. Everybody else goes to the beach, so nobody's at the house except me and Nate, and we're kind of watching, like, I think we're watching HBO something. I can't remember what was on, but regardless, we're sitting there, and Nate's like, man, I'm hungry. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sure Grandpa's got something we can fix. So he goes in, fixes himself up something in the microwave, comes back, sits the plate down on dining room table, proceeds to eat, picks the plate up, exact same situation. There's this huge, you know, heat
white
stain. Heat stain, whatever. And now here's the thing. Now my grandpa's a nice guy. He's a funny dude. But if you do something, if you screw up or, you know, if you do something like that, you're never, ever going to hear the end of it.
No. Yeah.
Ever. And here I am. I'm freaking out because my parents see this. They're going to be mad. My grandpa's going to give me all sorts of crap all the time. So we're just sitting there like, what can we do? What can we do? And I'm like, we got to paint over it.
Oh, no, Jesse. Yeah. Jesse.
Just wait. All right, so we're scrambling, right? We're scrambling all over the place. Like, Grandpa's got to have some paint. We're going to have to go out in the garage. But we go into there's like this little outside room. And in this cabinet, sure enough, there's some brown spray paint.
Oh, no.
Brown spray paint. And I'm looking at the color. I'm looking at the table. I'm looking back at the color on the can, back at the table. I'm like, okay, dude, it's either this or nothing. So we spray paint the table, all right? It looks like utter crap, but the color matches. So it looks all like matted and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, all right. So we give it time to dry. And me, you know, we're freaking out because now we've even taken it to a worst, you know, from bad case to a worst case scenario. So we let it dry, and when we find some kind of like doily or something, throw it over that.
Right.
Leave there later that week, no word is said. Years pass. I'm telling you, Ronnie Adams, it was never found out. Nothing was ever said. I don't know how in the world we got away with it, but there was, sure enough, this thing, I mean, it looked like, it looked like somebody had crapped upon the table and tried to wipe it off, and it just kind of dried there, but because the color match, you couldn't tell if it was actually like that. I don't know if my grandpa's eyes were that bad or whatever, but man, jeez, we got away with that one. But anyway, it's back to soundproofing.
Oh, yeah.
So
go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
I was just going to say, it reminds me of the time that, anger got a little bit the best of me. And needless to say, I was living at home at the time. I was young. And there was a hole that ended up in the wall in the hallway of the house, not in my room. This was or in the dining room, actually. The staircase was in the dining room leading up to my parents' bedroom, you know, the upstairs. Mm-hmm. And there was just this giant gaping hole in the wall. And needless to say, my sister didn't make me feel any better about it. And my mom came home, and I explained to her that, you know, I realized what I'd done and everything. She actually didn't flip crap on me. She was like, well, your father's going to kill you.
And unless you can find a picture to hang over it right now.
And, well, no, it was too low. It was rough. Mm-hmm. It was dumb. It was very, very dumb. I said, I can fix this. You know, my dad's done it. I know how to do it. you know, I am my father's son. And she said, all right, let's fix it then. So I go to the hardware store and I get everything. We actually had a hardware store in Chapmanville, West Virginia.
Okay.
It's crazy. And so I go to the hardware store and I buy everything I need, you know, the screen that goes underneath it, the putty, you know, that goes on the wall, the whole nine, you know, and
yeah.
So I do everything right. The only thing I didn't do is I forgot to sand it.
Okay.
And so I didn't get, I mean, I got everything. The funny thing is everything was, you know, it was, I forget how it was. It was like, I was doing it on the down low. My dad got home and he walked right by this big giant hole in the wall.
Okay.
And, yeah. And he didn't notice it at all. And then he went out to his workshop. You know, he's a woodworker. So he went out to, you know, he makes a lot of stuff, you know, so he can spot.
He should be able to spot it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like this should have been second nature to him, mm-hmm. you know, and, but he just didn't pay attention to it. He just got home and he went home, went upstairs, changed and went, you know, out into his wood shop. And my mom was like, you are lucky. And I was like, I figure that. So, I do the whole thing and, you know, I make up, you know, I do the wall. I smooth it out. I do the whole nine. And so, you know, I paint over it. I do the whole thing. And I swear 3 days go by. And as this dries and sits, you know, sets in, uh-huh. it's setting in the wall. And as it dries, there's a little tiny, you know, like it looks perforated, you know, there's little tiny holes in it. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I was like, oh, that's no good. And I forgot to sand it. And I'm sitting there and I was like, well, he didn't notice a giant hole in the wall. So, you know, might as well just roll with it. All of a sudden, you know, I'm in my room and I hear, who put a hole in my wall?
Oh no.
And I came outside and I looked at it and it looked different from the rest of the wall. And I went, uh-uh. And he's like, what? I said, no. You passed by a giant hole in the wall. It was a literal hole in the wall. I said, you're not, and I did this. I fixed it, and you're not allowed to get mad. He said, you fixed it? And I was like, yeah. He said, I walked by a hole in the wall? And I was like, yes. And he goes, all right, I guess you're right.
Yeah, you did a crappy
job, but you're right. And I was like, nice. My gosh. All right, soundproofing.
You lucked out.
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. I was like, how do you walk by a giant hole in the wall? But, you know, he's just wrapped up in work and just glad to be home.
Hmm.
But but as far as soundproofing, I'm just going to Google it and find the best, you know, most cost-efficient way.
Well, from what I understand, from what I saw, it looks like, I mean, it just looks like foam on the wall.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some other kind of – there's something else that figures into it, but –
oh, I'm
I
sure,
have
but...
so many boxes from moving. I was like, you know what I want to do? If I want to do this, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about just buying like the, you know, the egg mattress foam.
Yeah, yeah.
It's shaped like egg, or like an egg carton, whatever. Cream. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that. Well, I was thinking about taking boxes, just taping them together to kind of form like a wall. And then staple kind of like egg foam.
Yeah.
And see if that works. It should collect it. The thing I don't know. I want something kind of for the ceiling too because the kids are.
Yeah, stomping and playing. And.
Uh-huh. I'm not too concerned about stuff coming over the mic because that rarely happens.
Yeah.
It's more about my voice carrying. Up there, but anyway.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking to kind of keep myself in a contained area instead of
make sure nothing.
Yeah,
you're wanting to make sure you don't get out and nothing. Not
you the, got it.
You know, you yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna.
You're not
I
concerned
might,
about things coming in.
I might, you know, I might be looking into something like that here pretty soon. I'll keep you updated. I know all the folks there out in Screaming Boy Land are just like, I'm riveted. To find out about these.
I need to know.
don't need to know about soundproofing. Well, yeah, yeah, Ronnie Adams.
That's a really good idea. I mean, like the foam egg crate is it should be, you know, with cardboard and everything, it should be pretty. What's the word I'm looking for? Efficient.
Efficient.
Pretty, you know,
effective.
Yes. Effective. Yes, effective. I am an idiot.
We learn something new all the time out here on the Screaming.
I learn words.
Words. He's a word learner.
But it should do very well. But the one thing I wanted to talk about a little bit this evening is Jesse. I know you may not have caught all of it, but you know some of what happened and you know the excitement of it and everything. This weekend, you and I are both big professional wrestling fans.
That's right.
And yes, we are. And we've been to several live shows, or we've been to one live show together. We're going to go see another one.
Soon to be two, that's right. Soon.
Yeah, and it's Remix Pro Wrestling, Throwdown for the Pound, right?
That's correct.
And,
this will be 14?
Number 14, that's crazy.
Is it?
Sure.
I'll figure that out. I know 13 was – 13, I'm fairly certain, was last year's October's. But anyway,
October's.
Yeah.
And that's the one I went to.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
So this will be the 14th.
Wait a minute. No, was 13 Chris Khan's debut? His return.
His return, yes, indeed. Yes. Now, you were there for that, right?
Well, I was not.
You were not.
I was there for a Mega Plowers tag team match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this might be 15, I think.
Then, yeah. Well, then.
Yeah, I was there for number 14. Chris Khan returned at number – I think it was number 13 because he had 13 on his tights.
That's right.
It was a lucky number for him, which was, you know – fantastic match back, and everybody was cheering for him. And then he turned
heel.
Turned on Marion Fontaine and his friend at the time, and joined forces with the dastardly Jock Sampson, and they formed the Mega Plowers.
Yes, yes, you are
right there in the ring.
And this will be the 15th.
Yes, and because I got to see the Mega Plowers' first match. And Remix Pro,
okay,
which was fantastic because it was against Marion Fontaine and Devon Dudley.
That's right.
So this one is I can't remember who the Mega Plowers. I don't know if it's been
anyone. The Frat.
They're taking Frat. That's right.
Taking on the Frat.
So they're going to be wrestling the Frat this time around, and which I'm pretty excited for. And they've got John Morrison. And ODB is going to be there. It's going to be a really fun show. So I'm pretty pumped about that. So, but this past Sunday was a big event. It was WWE. It was WrestleMania weekend. They had Friday night. They had their big Hall of Fame induction, which got to see some favorites inducted. You know, DDP got inducted. They inducted Rick Rude into the Hall of Fame. His family was there to accept for him, which I thought was, you know, it was really cool to see that. You know, it's been a long time since he's passed away, and I think he's well deserving of being in the Hall of Fame.
Did I ever? You're talking about Rick Rude, you said, right?
Rick Rude, yes.
Did I ever tell you that one of the? I don't know if it was the first, but. It might have been the first ever like WCW Nitro that I ever got to go watch was in Cincinnati, and it was the one where Rick Rude was on both shows at the same time.
No way.
Yeah, where he jumped ship and it was pre-recorded Raw, and
yeah.
Then showed up on Nitro that very same night.
I remember I watched both. I watched that live.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you flip over to that other you know station. Or to that other company, you'll see me on there, but yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. So mm-hmm. He was on Nitro Live while the pre-recorded Raw was on. He was part of Degeneration X at the time.
That's right. Cincinnati, then, Ohio is where he showed up. I can remember that was a fun night.
Oh, absolutely. And that was not pre-internet, but that was pre-internet rumored. You heard rumors and things like that. You didn't know what was going to happen. So everything was still a surprise. Chris Jericho jumping ship and going to the WWF at the time. Everybody went nuts over that. Nobody knew that it was really going to be him. Things like that. So that's really cool. So Rick Rude was inducted. DDP was inducted. They had the one gentleman on there who was who got the Warrior Award. He currently cannot walk, and he's working on rehab. And he said one day he'll walk again. It was really, I didn't get to hear his whole story, but it was really cool that they're doing that, giving that award out. Mm-hmm. And then, oh gosh, forgive me, I can't remember who all got inducted. The referee that was also the SmackDown general manager who couldn't
Teddy remember Long.
His lines. Teddy Long was inducted. And then the one that everybody was waiting for was Kurt Angle actually came back to the WWE.
That's
and
right.
was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I think he is now the Raw general manager. He's actually signed with the WWE. And knowing how he is and having watched him for years, he'll probably get involved in a couple of things, which is actually really cool. So they had their Hall of Fame the Friday night. And then the big show happened on Saturday. And I will say this, while I take – nothing away from these wrestlers and what they do in their profession, because as much as I wanted to when I was younger, I didn't get trained. I didn't get to, I never got to do it, and I know it's very hard, and it is a painstaking process to make it into quote unquote the big time.
A lot of hard work,
a lot of sacrifice. If you heard some of these guys, their story, you'd be amazed at what they go through. I've read some biographies and things like that. Mick Foley and a few others, and sleeping in cars and eating nothing but peanut butter for a while just because they were saving money or anything like that. So. A lot of work goes into their profession, into their craft, into what they do. But I will say that this year was a very, very good WrestleMania, but it kind of slowly dwindled over the night for me, because it was amazing what they did. They took a match that everybody was looking forward to, and they gave it it was the very first match of the night. Which really shocked me because it was Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles, and it was Shane McMahon's got this. He's of course Vince McMahon's son who owns the WWE World Wrestling Entertainment, uh-huh. And Shane McMahon, of course you now know. Just in case somebody out there doesn't know, he was involved in wrestling for a long time before he. He started working for a different company. I can't remember, what he did, but it was overseas. And he, apparently was very successful at it, but came back to help, to follow in his father's footsteps, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he started as a referee. And a lot of people didn't know that, but he actually had quite the quite the reputation of being a daredevil. He's jumped off of, done diving elbows off of, the Titantron, which is the big screen that you see.
Yeah.
He actually perfected a move that only a few people had ever done. That was it was called the Coast to Coast. It was a drop kick from one side of the ring to the other off the top rope. Only one other person had done that, and that was Rob Van Dam. And who was also known for as a high flyer and a risk taker. So he was pretty,
pretty. One of, my fa- yeah. I was going to say one of my favorite memories. Speaking of Kurt Angle, do you remember Kurt Angle, Shane McMahon? And every time Kurt Angle was trying to, I wish I could remember what
it was. Over the head belly to belly suplex between the ring, and they had these glass King of the Ring things up. Yep. And he grabs him and he flips him over his head. You know, belly to belly, chest to chest, stomach to stomach, and you flip him over your head, and that's the suplex. And mm-hmm. he would flip him over his head, and he would bounce off this glass thing.
Yeah, clearly what was supposed to happen is he was supposed to go through it first right. shot. I mean, first try right out the gate, he's supposed to go through it.
Well, instead, that didn't happen in the worst way possible.
Oh, man. But what was even, I mean, just that much better is the fact that, well, we got to do it again. So he picks him back up and then tries it again. Does it give the second time?
No.
Oh, my God.
Like three times. He bounced off of it like twice and landed on his head.
Oh, man.
He landed on his dome like twice.
You could tell he was dazed.
He was out of it. He was out of it. And, you know, so Shane McMahon's pretty respected, in, you know, at least in the circle that I ran in of okay, this kid is, you know, he's legit.
Yeah.
He really cares about the audience. He cares about, you know, entertainment. He cares about what, you know, what the match looks like. He just doesn't get out there to toot his own horn.
Shane McMahon is not – if you look at Shane McMahon, you're not going to sit there and go, oh, this guy's got a wrestler's body. Far from it, folks. I don't know if you know if you've ever seen a picture of Shane McMahon. I mean, this guy. I'm sure he's gotten a little bit jacked up.
Now he's jacked.
Is he?
Like he looks like a wrestler. He's jacked, and you wouldn't know it because he wears baseball jerseys when he wrestles.
Yeah.
But you've seen his arms. He's jacked. I don't know how he got that big. But he started wrestling again. You know, he's supposed to be like a general manager. He started wrestling again. He dropped an elbow off of a cage through a table onto the Undertaker. Undertaker actually moved. It was a Hell in a Cell match.
Uh-huh.
And this was just recently. And he went through the table, and it was crazy. And so they're wondering how he's going to top it now. Well, they pulled out, you know, garbage. And AJ Styles is arguably the best wrestler in the world right now. No joke. I mean, uh-huh. like, he was highly sought after. I mean, he was it. He was in their only competition, which was TNA, Total Nonstop Action. And then they kind of were trying to get him to take less money. And he said, well, I can make, you know, to watch me, you know, go to Japan and make more money than I'm making here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very successful on the independent scene. He went to TNA and he was there for 10 years plus. And then he went to Japan and, you know, he joined the Bullet Club, which is a wrestling, you know, stable, which, you know, group of guys. And he led the Bullet Club for a while.
Remix brought him in twice.
Yes.
To go up against Neon Ninja. Both tremendous matches. I mean, yes. some of the best stuff I've seen. I never watched the guy, never followed his career. First time I'd ever seen him wrestle, I think, a full match was when he appeared in Remix Pro for those two matches. And that's a shame, really, because this guy is phenomenal.
Yeah, and his name is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, and he lives up to it. So you put Shane in a match with a guy that is that good, and AJ Styles is going to make you look good no matter what.
Yep.
So you get somebody with, you know, the talent that Shane has, you know, which isn't, you know, he's not AJ Styles. I mean, he's – but they did some chain wrestling in the beginning of the match. And, you know, hip tosses and arm drags and he looked like he was trying to out wrestle, you know, AJ Styles, Shane, that is. So this match it's going to be hard to top it this year.
Wow. Yeah,
this was a fantastic match. So this set the tone for the whole night. This match was just, in my opinion, it was the best match on the whole card. And I'm like, you put this first? And, you know, it was, you know, we got to see, like I said, the coast to coast where AJ Styles was going to do it. You know, Shane kicked out of one of AJ's finishers, which is called the Styles Clash. Which, yeah, I can't even explain it, you know, over the mic. You have to, you know, Google that crap.
That's pretty much like a reverse pile driver, except you're not bringing them down on their head. You're bringing them down on their stomach. On their
face. Yeah. So in the stomach. So he kicked out of that. And then they did the drop kick from one side of the ring to the other through, you know, onto a trash can. And you know, he went for the phenomenal forearm, which was a springboard into like this crazy looking forearm.
Oh yeah.
And they were throwing some hard hits, man. They were throwing some potatoes in there. They were, you know, one would give and the other one would give right back harder and, you know, just making it look good.
In WrestleMania history, there always seems to be that one match.
Yeah.
That one match. That's not main event. You could build up whatever main event you wanted to build up, but there's always one match on the undercard that steals the show. And I can't believe that AJ versus freaking Shane McMahon stole the show. That's pretty improbable. If you were to tell somebody that 3 years ago, hey, AJ Styles and Shane McMahon are going to steal the show at WrestleMania, people would laugh in your face.
Oh, I know.
Legitimately laugh in your face. Be like, yeah, right, whatever. Crazy stuff.
It was so good. And I was like, well, this is going to be hard to, this is really going to be hard to take, you know, to this took the cake.
Yeah.
And I was really in awe of it. If you have a chance to watch it, just, you know, just because sadly enough, I don't watch it really anymore to expect craziness or anything like, you know. I kind of watched during the Attitude Era and the one after, you know, the whatever eras, you know, the Attitude Era. What was after that? I can't remember. But the Attitude Era and the one after was kind of like you. That's where you saw the blood and the craziness. You know, everybody was bleeding in the ring, and it was, you know, a lot of you expected big things like that. And you don't have that anymore because, you know, from the PG era to the new era that they have, the PG era was very mild and, you know, on some of their stuff, which, you know, I get. You don't want to kill anybody. These guys are on the road for, what, 200 days out of the year plus.
Yeah.
And legitimately, like, driving, flying, whatever, from state to state to state, you know, doing two shows a day sometimes. You know, I don't know how many shows they do in a week. Yeah, so they have very little time off and they have very little time with their families and stuff. So it's kind of a hard life. So, I get why they want to protect the guys that they're paying, you know, but it got a little, you know, a little bland. So that's why they're spicing things up. They're bringing some new guys in, they're letting them do more, and which is good. You know, some of these indie guys that they've got, Shinsuke Nakamura, who is known as, for the strong style wrestling, you know, a hard hitting. And then you got Finn Balor, who was known as, what was his indie name?
I can't remember.
Yeah, he went by Prince, whatever at the time. Devitt, Fergal Devitt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's from Ireland, folks. So you had Fergal Devitt, you've got AJ Styles, you got Samoa Joe, who's one of the hardest hitters in, you know, in the indie scene and in TNA. So they're bringing in some fresh blood. But it was picking up. So I didn't expect, you know, I don't watch it to expect somebody, you know, to dive off of a cage every night. So this was a really good, you know, this was a surprise. And I'm like, this can't get any better than this. You know, it was kind of sad. And then, you know, you had Chris Jericho, who wrestled Kevin Owens, who's another, you know, newer guy on the scene. He's just absolutely fantastic. Kevin Owens, I'm a big Kevin Owens fan. He's already won the world, you know, title, universal title, whatever they call it. He's been the champion. He's been, intercontinental champion. He was their farm league, the NXT champion. So they've really, they know what they've got with, Kevin Owens. He's a fantastic talent. So he and Chris Jericho wrestled for the United States Championship match, which Kevin Owens walked out with. Chris Jericho, about 45 years old, 44 years old, still has it. Still can go, man. Oh, he's so good.
two or three years ago, I got to watch him remix. I actually brought him in, but this time it was Fozzy.
Yeah, his band.
Wow. I mean, the dude has insane amount of energy.
Yeah, he does. Insane. So, and from what I understand, he's a very grateful fella.
Nice guy
fan with his fans, and you know, you only see the negative a lot of times on like news and stuff like that. But from you know, people that have actually met him, is a very nice guy. So they put on a heck of a match. It was so good. You know, Kevin Owens is a very vocal person, so you got to listen to him too. He's into the psychology of wrestling. You know, they were actually arguing about being best friends. Chris Jericho always called him his best friends, and he was like, "I was never your best friend." It's hysterical because you really believe that these two grown men are fighting over, you know, whether they were best friends or not, and then they're fighting over this belt too. It was so much fun.
Oh man!
And then there was a division. You know, they had the Raw Women's Championship. Now, Raw and SmackDown are two shows of WWE, of course, and they have their own belts. You know, the World Belt, the Universal Belt, two sets of tag belts and two women's belts, and then they have their secondary belt, which is Intercontinental Belt for SmackDown and the U.S. Belt for Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the Raw Women's Championship, which is a Fatal 4-Way match, the elimination match. So Bayley, who is just as cute as a button and so talented, is the champion right now, and she was going against Charlotte Flair, which is Ric Flair's daughter. She's so talented in her own. Sasha Banks and Nia Jax. So Nia Jax is just freaking nature huge.
She's a beast of a woman.
Yes, and she's coming into her own. She's getting, you know, when I first saw her. I was like, but she's, you know, she's doing very well. This one, Bayley won, but they really missed out on an opportunity because it was elimination. So they got rid of Nia Jax first because she, of course, is the biggest. So they had the other three gang up on her and put her out. And then they got rid of Sasha Banks, and then it was Bayley versus Charlotte. If they had gotten rid of – now, I love Charlotte, but had they gotten rid of – Charlotte, they could have really had a good match. Like, it was a great match, but they could have had a lot more chemistry between the two, between Sasha and Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
Because the matches that they've had in the past have been five star matches, and not to say that Charlotte Flair hasn't put them on, but there was just so much more chemistry and there was so much more storyline between Sasha and Bayley. Still a great match, you know, and it was like, you know, this has turned out to be a really good night. I mean, I was really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the unspeakable happened because there was a three-way Raw Tag Team Championship triple threat ladder match. So you had the teams of Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, who were in Japan as a part of the Bullet Club that came with AJ. And which really, I don't think they should have separated them because AJ's on SmackDown, uh-huh. And that the you know Gallows and Anderson are on Raw. But anyway, they're the champions. They had Cesaro and Sheamus, which for a while there, I just kind of stopped watching Sheamus. But when he's with Cesaro, it's so much fun to watch him. They are hysterical, man. I love it. And then Enzo Amore and Big Cass. Now. I've got something different to say about Enzo Amore and Big Cass. Big Cass is so talented. He's so good. Enzo Amore, he's really losing I can't stand to listen to him talk anymore. And that's his thing.
What do we have here?
I'm like, shut up. A couple of haters. I mean, and then, I feel that way, but when he starts going and he gets going, I do laugh and I get into it. But I'm just like, can we just start the match? But anyway, so your host for the WrestleMania was another team called the New Day, which is three guys. It's Big E, Kofi Kingston, and Xavier Woods. And they're hosting it and they're doing their whole thing, you know, the unicorns and all this. And they come out and they're like, you know, we just want to tell you that this triple threat ladder match has now turned into a fatal four-way match. And everybody's like, oh, you know, the New Day, they're going to go in, they're going to wrestle. And they're like, I wonder who, you know, is going to be that fourth team. And they were like, who? That's their new thing. You know, everybody says who? Yeah, and it's all who, and it sounds like owls because it's really high pitched. And they started like sauntering down to the ring a little bit, like it's going to be them. And all of a sudden, we go into a time machine back to the year 2000, and the Hardy Boys music hits.
Yeah, buddy.
Broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero, better known as Matt and Jeff, come out, and the place erupts. Mm-hmm. I jump out of my seat. I scream, what? And my dog thinks I'm crazy because I'm the only one watching in my house. And it just, I lost it. I'm like, this is fantastic. You know, they've signed them. They're going to come in. They're going to put on a heck of a show. You know, probably, Gallows and Anderson are going to drop it to like Enzo and Cass or, you know, or something. Sheamus and Cesaro are really popular right now. Maybe they're going to give them a run with the titles. They put on this heck of a ladder match, and that's what the Hardys are known for, with their ladder matches with the Dudleys and Edge and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out. Jeff does a swanton bomb off the tallest ladder, which is, you know, a front flip, onto his back, onto two other guys who are laying across ladders. Outside of the ring, breaks one ladder in half. Everybody goes crazy because the man's 39 years old.
Yeah.
And Matt climbs the top of the ladder, and everybody's losing their mind because he pulls down the belts.
Oh my gosh.
They have given the belts to Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Wow.
Their first night back after 7 years gone. 7 years, my friend.
That's crazy.
The whole thing, and you and I have talked about it before, this whole thing that they've got going on, they had going on in TNA Wrestling, was Broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was Jefferson Nero Hardy, and that's his middle name is Nero, Jeff Hardy. So Broken Matt Hardy has this crazy hair, and it has a white streak through the front. And he talks in a really bad British accent, and he's very aloof and kind of you're like this dude's insane. And when I first saw it, I was like, this is ridiculous. You know, they started filming their own vignettes doing this whole storyline. But dude, if it did not get over and catch fire, I love it, man. I think it's I think it's hilarious. I think it's fantastic. Everybody loves it. Everybody chants Broken and Delete because that's his thing. You were going to delete this and delete you. And you know, it's so popular right now that TNA is suing them for the rights of the Broken gimmick.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at that article right now because I've been hearing rumors of this. Curious as to what in the world was going on. Like, the Broken gimmick is a trademark is what they're trying to get across here.
They're trying to say it's their idea. It's really not. It was his idea. And he's the one that filmed it. And he's the one that came up with it. They just let him do it.
Uh-huh.
So now they're trying to take credit for it. And this is what I've read. So they're trying to take credit for it and keep it. So this is, if this is the best that they can do to go against, you know, to give, you know, WWE some competition, they're not doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of want them to step up their game a little bit. So they're suing them, which ultimately, now that they're back in the WWE, they're probably going to lose, TNA, that is, and we're probably going to have Broken Matt Hardy in the WWE now.
Did they let them talk yet?
Yes, and he is not Broken Matt Hardy, but he is almost Broken Matt Hardy. He wants it to come out. You can tell. There's certain phrases and certain things you say. You're like, oh, it's almost broken. It's almost broken. And then he kind of has to pull it back a little bit. And you're like, no.
Oh, let's go, funny.
Man. It's so funny. It's so much fun. And it's so good to see them back in the WWE. It's, you know, they're talking about being home. And, you know, they're like, this is fantastic, you know, because the age of retirement is different for a professional wrestler. And any athlete, You know, athletes don't go till they're 60 and 70. You know, they're not supposed to, at least. You know, you still got some professional wrestlers out there. I think Terry Funk is like 190 and he's still going. And there was another one. I can't remember his name. He was a gentleman that wrestled New Jack one time. And he was in his 70s when he did so. And New Jack beat him from pillar to post. And, you know, people in the crowd were like, no, you got to stop. This is getting ridiculous. You're going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, he walked out on his own volition. And I think Gypsy Joe.
Gypsy Joe. Yep.
And I think he passed away recently. I'm not sure. I think I read somewhere that he passed away. But, you know, in your mid-30s, you know, late-30s, if you're not taking good care of yourself, you start to break down a little bit because these guys put themselves through hell on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, landing on their backs and taking these bumps.
Dude, I fell once moving stuff. Okay, one time.
And you were down for a week.
And I was like, ah, this is going to hurt tomorrow.
Yep, exactly. So, this is where the night took a dip for me. It was the mixed tag match between John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maryse, where John Cena and Nikki Bella won with dual rack attack and attitude adjustment. And then John Cena proposed to Nikki Bella in the middle of the ring. She said yes, and everybody was all happy, happy, happy. It was not a very good match, in my opinion, but that's just my opinion. Then you had the non-sanctioned match versus Seth Rollins versus Triple H. It's non-sanctioned because Seth Rollins was injured and the doctors didn't clear him, as you know, is the story behind it. So they could do whatever they wanted to because it was non-sanctioned. It was like, you know, the sledgehammer came out, which is Triple H's trademark weapon. You know, they were on the outside of the ring. It was actually a good match. I was, you know, really impressed. I'm not. You know, just you know, for personal reasons, I'm not a, you know, big Seth Rollins fan, but he did very well. And Triple H, of course, you know, it being WrestleMania, had an incredible entrance of
time to play the game.
Yeah, motorcycle cops escorted him down as he was riding his own custom motorcycle with Stephanie on the back. And
shout out to the new Chips movie.
No, never. So Seth Rollins defeated Triple H. Had the SmackDown Women's Champion, which Alexa Bliss took on Naomi, Mickie James, and Becky Lynch, which it was a total cluster of a match. It didn't make any sense. Yeah, it was just Carmella was in there too. Natalya, Carmella, Mickie James, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, and Naomi. Naomi won. The only reason I could ever think of is because Orlando is where it's at and it's her hometown. I'm not a Naomi fan. So it was just a cluster of a match when you could have had a good match between Alexa Bliss and Natalya, or Alexa Bliss and Mickie James, or Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch. You could have chosen any of those and gone that way. Natalya deserves it more than Naomi, in my opinion. Natalya, Natty Neidhart, has been in the WWE for years now, and she's an amazing wrestler. You know, I think they should give her a push and a title run. But go ahead.
Let's go back real quick. I'm looking at the Goldberg recap from the
week. We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, we haven't?
No.
Oh, well, I'm seeing that. I'm seeing have we talked Ray Wyatt, Randy Orton yet?
No.
Okay.
But it's not on my list, so it must have been next. So Goldberg and Brock Lesnar was one of the big matches of the night, and they're going for the Raw Universal Belt, which at that moment, Goldberg was the champion, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool because they brought him back. This has like been the year of comebacks for everybody.
Oh, yeah, dude. Nostalgia all over the place.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, if they've still got it, they've still got it. Goldberg still has it.
Mm-hmm.
The Hardys definitely still have it. Mickie James still has it. So Goldberg held the belt. He actually upset Brock Lesnar twice, and it was like a minute and a half match. He took some Germans, speared Brock. Everybody thought he was going to come back. Brock German suplexed him a couple of times. got him in the F5 and 1-2-3. Brock Lesnar is your new Universal Champion, so he will be defending that belt sometime next year because Brock Lesnar only works when Brock Lesnar wants to work. yes, I said that. I don't care how big and scary he is.
Hate him.
Mark Radulich, the patriarch of the Radulich and Broadcasting Network, absolutely loves Brock Lesnar, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct, sir.
Listen, I'll say this. Brock Lesnar is terrifying as a man.
Yep. I'll agree.
But I can sue if he hits me, if he hunts me down. Dude, looks like somebody put a T-bone steak on two tiny toothpicks. He's big and beefy up top, but his legs are so skinny. It bothers me. You know, I'm not in shape. I'm not picking on, you know, God bless him because I know he works hard for what he's got, you know, lifting and Mack trucks as he does or whatever he does to stay in shape. But dude needs to hit leg day every once in a while. But anyway, I'm not a Brock Lesnar. I don't like Brock Lesnar. I don't think he should have the belt right now. You know, whatever their deal with Goldberg is, and you know, he had the belt. That was really cool. I liked it. You know, I think they should put it on somebody else. I think they should, you know, if Finn Balor is healthy, I think that they need to find a way to put it on him again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just me. So Brock Lesnar is your new WWE Universal Champion.
They are saying that this was Goldberg's first clean singles match loss of his whole career.
It's true.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, because everything, you know, his first loss was to Kevin Nash.
Yep.
In WCW back in 97 or 8.
97 or – yeah, 90, probably 98.
Eight.
I want to say
– yeah.
Me and the wife got married 98, so –
I was 99.
It could have been because I remember shortly after we got married, which was July of 98, Goldberg and Hogan were at the Georgia Dome.
Okay.
So, and I recorded that on VCR tape so nice. I could watch it. Yeah. I had to work that night. So I've got to watch this. But anyway, so that'd have been July of 98. I don't know how long he held the championship. I'm sure it was for quite a while. But so, yeah, it might have been 99.
Scott Hall hit him with the cattle prod, which inexplicably made the lights in the whole arena dim every time he hit him with it. and Nash got the pin over him.
So thereby starting a clean win is when there's no interference.
Correct.
No outside, you know, no weapons involved, nothing like that. So. Interesting stat right there. And, you know, look, I have an opinion on Lesnar, too. It kind of mirrors what you say. I do not like part-timers holding belts.
I don't either.
At all. I like Goldberg, but, again, that kind of falls in the same vein. Like, hey, he's a bit of a part-timer himself. We knew he wasn't going to be coming back and running. Right. And I'm sure you've seen the meme. That a part-timer's been in the main event a ton.
Yep.
For the past, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that.
Yeah, The Rock. Lesnar has been in there, I don't know how many times.
Yep.
But I don't know if he's a part-timer then, but.
I know Lesnar's been a part-timer for a while, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, for like a good while. Ever since
that's very true.
Ever since he came back from MMA, he like went up and smacked the crap out of Cena.
Yeah.
Right then.
Part-timer.
I was calling him a part-timer then. I hate them putting the belt on that because it just doesn't feel earned. It
didn't feel right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. You got these other guys who are, like I said, on the road 200 plus days a year that are busting their butts, and then you give it to a guy who works when he wants. It just doesn't seem kosher to me.
Yeah.
But it's not. I mean, these other guys are more deserving. But, you know, how many years did Brock Lesnar give the WWE before that? That's going to be their argument, you know? Yeah. So, and I get it, but you didn't see him putting on a belt, put a belt on the Undertaker for all these years that he's been, you know, working just at WrestleMania and a few other matches.
Mm-hmm.
He's been, you know, Undertaker's been kind of part-time too for a while.
Yes.
And they didn't put a belt on him. And the Undertaker's been in the WWE for 23 years now.
I was thinking 26.
26?
That seems off. Maybe 91. You're thinking 94?
Yeah. I'm thinking 94. When was, maybe I'm thinking just of the streak.
Or 90. If you said, how many years did you say?
23, 24?
24. Put it 93.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it might have been a little bit earlier than that, at least when Hogan was around, we know. But anyway, go ahead. Are we getting an answer?
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I'm sorry. It was 1990.
Wow, 27 years.
27 years. This man has been working for this company almost 30 years. So, but you know, but hey, give it to the guy who wears Jimmy John's on his trunks. I mean, he's giving him free advertisement.
Yeah,
unless he's getting a kickback from whatever. Jimmy John's. I mean, you know, they
never ate a sandwich from there.
If you like lettuce, I mean, that's your place.
I'd like a lettuce sandwich, please.
That's what you get. You know, maybe you can find some meat in there.
Hold the meat.
And Jimmy John's, if you're looking to sponsor somebody, we're right here. So
change our opinion real quick.
I will shill the crap out of some Jimmy John's if they want me to. Hey, we're going to give you some money. Hey, I will eat your sandwiches every day.
Every day.
And they will be the best darn sandwiches I've ever had. My mom can't make sandwiches like this. So, anyway. So, you've got Brock Lesnar defeated Goldberg, but the match before that was Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. Now, Bray Wyatt has been deserving of a championship for a long time, in my opinion. So, he recently became the WWE champion. From SmackDown, and he held it, and he defeated AJ Styles in a Elimination Chamber match, which has Elimination Chamber starts out with two people in the ring, and they have this cage that's built around the ring, and in each corner there's a pod made out of plexiglass, and they open that up, and they add another person, you know, throughout the match until there's, you know, six guys in the ring, and they're just tearing each other apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a lot of fun to watch if they have the right guys in there. So, you know, everybody's tearing each other apart, and it's AJ Styles and Bray Wyatt. And I was like, this is a really odd match. You know, well, you know, AJ's going to beat Bray Wyatt, and he's going to be, you know, champion.
Yeah.
Well, Bray Wyatt hits his finishing move, which is a Sister Abigail. And as a big AJ Styles, you know, I'm a huge AJ Styles fan. I love AJ Styles. When Bray Wyatt hit his Sister Abigail on him, and counted, the ref counted 1, 2, 3. I flipped out. I was like, finally, they're giving him a belt. He has needed this for the longest time. I think he can run with it. Bray Wyatt has this crazy cult leader, out of the bayou, out of, you know, kind of feel going on. Oh gosh, what's the movie, the De Niro movie that I'm thinking about?
Niro, Cape Fear?
Cape Fear. Yeah, and he's got this whole Cape Fear thing going on, man. De Niro's character in Cape Fear. God help me, I'm terrible at this. I can't remember anything. But that character in Cape Fear is what I get out of it, because the hat And the funky shirts that he wears, and just how creepy he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had, you know, of course, the Wyatt family. He had these guys following him for the longest time. And then Randy Orton, who I don't like. I've never really liked Randy Orton.
He hears voices in his head.
Yeah, whatever. And he thinks he's a snake. I remember the days when you couldn't hit your finisher in the right way, Randy. I remember. Okay, I remember there was this match going on, and Chris Jericho had I think it might have been Mick Foley, or had somebody in the Walls of Jericho. No, it wasn't Mick Foley. He had somebody in the Walls of Jericho, which is a Boston Crab. Mm-hmm. So Randy Orton, having an open target, runs across the ring, bounces off the ropes, and goes to hit the RKO, which is a front face lock, a cutter, like a diamond cutter.
Yeah.
And misses completely. And falls flat on his back. So Chris Jericho just looks at him and says, "All right, try it again." And he sticks his neck out this time so, you know, Randy Orton can hit it. And I'm like, there's no way you can save that. I mean, because he missed. Man. So anyway, Randy Orton beat Bray Wyatt in the ring, and they took his belt away from him, and I'm kind of ticked about that.
Oh, man.
So, you know, Max Cady was the Cape Fear character. So he's got this Max Cady, Jim Jones thing going on. It's kind of, it's really odd, and it's really awesome. And I defy you to find somebody that has a better entrance than Bray Wyatt right now.
Creepy.
You know, coming out to the ring and it completely dark, and all he has is a lantern, and everybody's got their cell phones up.
He can blow out an electric lantern.
It's amazing. The man is otherworldly. Speaking of otherworldly, the match that everybody was waiting for was The Undertaker versus Roman Reigns. And I actually turned this match off.
Oh.
I couldn't do it. The Undertaker has been a favorite.
Did you know it was going to happen?
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. I just knew because it was his time. I mean, you know, he's 20, I don't know how many, and two. He's won every single WrestleMania match he's been in except for two. The streak was broken by Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a terrible decision.
Terrible.
This was his retirement night, and he goes against Roman Reigns. And this is their pick to replace John Cena, I guess, because, you know, John Cena is, you know, this is their next big thing. But I will tell you this, the crowd ain't having it. I have never heard somebody get booed as much as Roman Reigns. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, as Rocky Maivia, was booed backstage. You know, they hated him.
Yeah.
When he came out. So he used that to his advantage. He said, if you're going to hate me, I'll give you a reason to hate me. Thus, The Rock was born, and he was a heel.
That's right.
And then he turned into The Rock that everybody knows, you know, the most electrifying man in the sports entertainment history. And he was incredible. You know, he had the looks, the moves, everything. Roman Reigns is a good wrestler, but that's it. This is not main event material, in my opinion. He didn't, you know, the match was lackluster because, frankly, the Taker, you know, he's in his 50s. He has given his whole body to this sport, you know, sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it. Wrestling, it's not sports entertainment, it's wrestling. You know, this is a almost 7-foot man who would dive over the ropes onto other people, you know, to the outside of the ring, from the ring to the floor. He would tightrope walk the top, you know, the top rope and jump off, and, you know, leg drops and DDTs and all this stuff that, you know, a man his size shouldn't have done.
Uh-huh.
You know, he would do the big man moves, you know, the power bombs, the choke slams, the presses into the turnbuckle, all the stuff that you would expect him to do. And then he would pull off this craziness, you know. The first time I saw him, he was standing in the middle of the ring. There was a group of people standing on the outside of the ring. He just takes off running and bounces off the other side and just does a front flip over the ropes onto these other people. And I'm like, the man is 6'11" and, you know, 300+ pounds, 350 pounds, whatever, 320 pounds. He shouldn't be able to do that. And, you know, and this, he's been my favorite wrestler since I was, you know, I can remember, one of my favorite wrestlers. And, you know, I followed his career, and I, every time that, you know, every time you hear that gong hit his music, you know, you get chills. I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some of the most iconic matches you've ever heard, you know, in WWE, WWF history. He was in the very first Hell in a Cell match with Shawn Michaels, which was just incredible. And then he was in the most remembered Hell in a Cell match with Mick Foley, when he was Mankind, where he tossed Mankind off the top of the cell through a table. And, you know, of course, the star of that match was Mick Foley because of the punishment he took.
Oh, and continued to get up.
Now, Undertaker, in his own right, was wrestling on a broken foot that night.
Climbed the cell with that.
With a broken foot, jumped down into the ring from the top of the cell. You know, he climbed down and let go with a broken foot. And then, of course, Mick Foley himself was just broken at that point. Everything in him, a dislocated shoulder, his tooth was knocked out, yeah. And in his nose, a concussion, contusions, you name it, he had it. He got thrown onto thumbtacks, threw a table off of a giant cage, choke slam multiple times. You know, it was an incredible match. I mean, it wasn't a wrestling match. It was a slaughter. But yeah, they made you believe it. You know what I mean? And it takes somebody who's a ring general, and if you don't know, it means it takes command of what's going on in the match, or who knows what's going on, to give Mick Foley time to know that he's going to continue no matter what you say, no matter what you do. You're going to have to take him out of the handcuffs to get him to quit the match. So he did everything he could. So when Mick Foley fell off the cage and he climbed back to the top, they chokeslammed him, the cage gave way, and he fell straight to the ring. So Undertaker climbs down. He knows he's not going to leave the ring. So he just starts grabbing random people and chokeslamming them. He's like, you're going to take this, and you're going to like it. And they're like, okay, you know. He's one of the most respected individuals in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing that goes on. It's called Wrestler's Court. And if something happens on the road, or, you know, at a show or something like that, they don't really go to higher ups. They keep it amongst themselves. And this has been an urban legend, but I think it's, you know, they said it was true finally. And the judge of Wrestler's Court is the Undertaker. You know, he is the locker room leader. He's the guy that people go to, you know, and he's been in the game for 30 plus years, but he's been with this one company for, you know, almost 30 years.
Wow.
So to have him lose his retirement match to Roman Reigns feels like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
And that's why I turned it off.
I don't blame you. I think me personally, dude, I mean, the one person that should have sent this guy off was John Cena.
I agree.
I think that we've always seen the passing of the torch. Okay, Andre the Giant was the man. He passed the torch to Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Hulk Hogan's the man. He passes the torch to The Rock.
Right.
The Rock then passes the torch to John Cena, which that wasn't too long ago. However, regardless, I mean, he was – I think that Undertaker, if he was going to lose to somebody – and be sent off, it would have been John Cena. Now, it should have been. Why they picked Roman, I mean, they really, really have a – it's like they want this guy to succeed, and the fans –
trying to make Roman happen. Roman's not going to happen.
Yeah, they're they continue to throw it in your face, and the fans don't like it. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to – that this guy sucks in any way.
No, no, no.
It's the character itself and the way that it's been force-fed.
Yes.
We don't have a problem with – I don't think we have a problem with Roman as the person.
Well,
I mean – we have a problem with the
– it's just like – right. It's just like baseball. You know, all these guys are talented, and they, you know, the teams are talented. They play this professionally for a reason. They do things that I know I can't, so I have respect for that. I have respect for Roman Reigns in the same way. Mm-hmm. I just don't like him. He's not my favorite wrestler, and he never will be. You know, and I can say that he could prove me completely wrong the next day, because being a fan of anything, being a nerd about anything. is fickle in its own right, because you could be a fan of something one day and completely hate it the next.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know? The Rock is, again, a prime example.
Yes.
Where he is universally hated, and then he worked his way through making people hate him that much more as a heel, and then becomes one of the greatest entertainers of today.
Yeah. And people love him.
Yeah. And it's not like this can't be done. Right. If the fans have a problem with the way this guy's being booked or the way the guy's being portrayed, then you take cues and you try and figure out ways to either make that work or make the character work in some other way. I'm not saying you completely rebrand the guy, but I mean, something's got to change. So you've got to somehow legitimize this dude enough to make him a worthy contender of the Undertakers.
Right. Now,
I didn't watch the build-up for it, so I don't know if you did. Did you watch any of the build-up for it at all?
Somewhat.
I mean, I don't know if it was
just doesn't good. Feel like there was any build-up whatsoever.
I read things on the internet, and I kind of keep up with wrestling that way, and I haven't seen too many people come to the defense. I've seen one or two, but I haven't seen too many people come to the defense of, you know, how this guy's being portrayed and being booked. Now, I've seen a lot of people say, hey, don't hate this guy. You know, a lot of people, a lot of fans are hating on the dude when they should be hating on how he's being packaged.
Right. And I'll agree with that. Like I said, being a fan is a
fickle thing.
A fickle thing, you know, in wrestling and whatever, you know? So I don't hate you. Just like you said, I don't hate him as a person. I don't know him, for goodness sakes. But do I think he could, you know, be used in a different way? Absolutely. I don't think he needs to be in the limelight that he's in right now. I think there's some work that needs to be done. But then again, I'm a armchair quarterback when it comes to this stuff. You know, I could sit here all day long and say, oh, this needs to be happening, this needs to happen, this needs to happen. But ultimately, I'm not in the game. You know, I'm just saying, you know, things that I think need to happen.
Yeah.
You know, as a fan, I would like to see this happen. But, you know, being a fan and being that guy, you're going to say, no, that's wrong. They should do it this way.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I don't think he's the right guy to have retired The Undertaker. Because after the match, The Undertaker left his coat, his gloves, and his hat in the middle of the ring. And as I said, this is a man that is so highly respected in this business that the production staff left it. And they cleaned up the arena around it.
Wow.
Nobody touched it for a good 30 minutes. You know, they didn't want to disturb it.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been that they were told to let people take their pictures or whatever. But still, there's that respect. Leave it because you know people are going to take picture of this, or leave it because, you know, we don't want to touch it because this man, you know, is giving his all. And, you know, it was just, I don't know. There were so many more people that could have done it. I mean, shoot, if you're bringing back Kurt Angle, let Kurt Angle do it.
No,
I'm kidding.
Don't you?
No, but I mean, before he retired, Shawn Michaels would have been a great person to retire him.
In all reality, this guy's last match should have been a long time ago.
Absolutely.
I don't think he should have continued to wrestle. I think when did he face? Did he face John Cena at a WrestleMania?
I think so. I think that should have been his last one.
Let me look. I'll take a look. You go ahead and continue to talk, but I want to see if Undertaker, John Cena happened, because I remember sitting there thinking, okay, well, that should be it.
Yeah.
He should go out on a high note. I thought, like, his – of course, there was the whole streak.
Yeah.
WrestleMania. No, that can't be right. That looks like WrestleMania 20. Might have been. But anyway, they had the whole streak going. I thought the man should also, if he was going to retire, he should have went out undefeated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why did you hurt Brock Lesnar?
Never happened. Should have never happened.
No, absolutely not. Oh, gosh. Okay. You're going to get me started on a rant. I'm trying not to. It's so hard. Because, like, I don't care what you say. Like, you know, if you're a fan, if you're not a fan, you cannot be a fan of him. I don't care. You don't have to be a fan of him to respect. I don't like Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Hulk Hogan. I didn't like Hulk Hogan when I was a kid. But now as an adult, I realize that, man, he did a lot for the business. You know, he may have done a lot of punch-kick stuff, which I wasn't a fan of. But I tell you what, that punch-kick stuff, when I say that, he didn't do a whole lot of wrestling moves. You know, somebody said he wouldn't know a wrist lock from a wrist watch one time, and I thought that was really funny. But, you know, he did a whole lot for the business. And so you can't take that away from him. You know, no matter how racist he is, you can't take that away from him. So it's there's so much. I don't know. There's just so much. There's so many other people that could have done this, that could have taken advantage. That they could have taken advantage of. If you wanted a newer guy to do it, if you wanted somebody that you're passing the torch to do it. Not John Cena, but that would have been back in the day.
Yeah.
Give it to AJ Styles. Let AJ retire.
You give it to somebody and you create a tension. I mean, really what you have here is you have somebody who's going out. The people really want the Taker to win and nobody likes Roman Reigns.
No.
Hey, heel's going over tonight no matter what. And I don't know if Reigns is being built as as a heel lately.
You can't help it.
There's no way of avoiding it, especially when you're putting him in the ring with The Undertaker.
And everybody knows that this is going to be his last match.
Yeah, there's no way. So, you know, I don't know, man. You put him up, somebody like AJ Styles, where people are now conflicted. Like, they want to see something like this happen. That's one of the biggest criticisms I have with WWE is that they will make you watch stuff that you don't want to watch. Yes. Not only that, but they will make you pay for stuff.
Yes. How do you do that?
You make people pay to go to a WrestleMania and end it on that note. Hey, you have a memory to last a lifetime where you can say, yeah, I watched The Undertaker in his last match ever. But then to follow that up, you're going to be saying against Roman Reigns.
Ugh.
You, if you would have said it was a Matt Classic versus AJ Styles,
yeah,
okay, people would have been that much more excited to see something like that go down.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, hey, it is what it is, I guess. We now have to,
you know, I'm not in the business, you know. I'm not paid to write for him or anything like that. So, you know,
I can't find a John Cena versus Undertaker WrestleMania. I swear it happened, but I don't know. You know.
Oh well. We just know that his last match was against Roman Reigns and Ronnie ain't happy about it.
We just have to deal with it.
Pawpaw Adams came out that night. So it's one of those things where, you know, I'd love to see him, you know, come. Oh man, the streak should have never ended. He should not have lost Roman Reigns Sunday night. And there's just so many things that could have gone differently with that to end it on a high note. Which didn't, you know, for me at least. You know, there could have been people that absolutely loved it. I want to know who you are because I don't know anybody who did love it. But, I mean, there could have been, You know, I mean, Roman Reigns' family probably loved it. Roman yeah. probably loved it. But, you know, I'm sure The Undertaker wasn't a huge fan. But he's a guy that respects the business and respects his boss.
Well, I think if you're going, I think The Undertaker had probably some say because he has a lot of
clout. Oh, he has a lot of say, but I don't think he had any say over when, how, or why the streak ended.
I see. Okay, I got you.
You know what I mean? I think if he had had his way, his streak wouldn't have ended like that.
Should have never ended. Yeah,
it should have. Yeah, never. I don't think it would have been. You know, he could have said, "Yeah, I want to drop the streak as a sign of respect or to put somebody over." But I don't. You know, from things I've read and things that I've watched and just watching the match again, you know, the end of the streak. I don't think he had. I think he had some say in it, but I don't think it went the way he wanted it to go. I could be completely wrong. You know, the things that I read could be complete and utter falsehoods and lies. But I personally don't think it went the way he wanted it to go. And I know it didn't go the way that a lot of people wanted it to go, other than Mark Radulich. So that's just, you know, it's the name of the game. It is what it is, and you got to roll with the punches. Being a fan, you know. You know it's going to happen, and you got to take it. You got to take the good with the bad. So, and there was a lot of good in the WrestleMania, a lot of good. It was, you know, the Shane match, the Hardy Boys. You know, I said, it was like the year 2000 again, man. And I was just jumping up and down for him. I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen, and it was just because it was so much fun. And then you got your moments where you're not so happy. So can't do a whole lot about it other than to say, hey, there's always next year.
That's right.
So, well, Jesse, I've kept you on here long enough. I figure that's a hodgepodge, but we didn't really plan on talking about it that long. But hey, we're wrestling fans.
WrestleMania.
We're wrestling nerds.
Mm-hmm. I had fun discussing. I can't wait to see what's next for.
I can't either.
I mean, they're gonna. It'll be interesting to see how they try and turn things around with Roman Reigns. That's probably something to expect. Well, next year, me and you will be doing the same thing. We'll get back on here and discuss WrestleMania 34.
Absolutely, and it will be just as fun tonight. Just tonight.
Heck yeah.
And unless they absolutely
poop the bed.
Unless they poop the bed and screw the pooch and decide to have David Arquette win the WWE title this time around.
No.
Hey, I went there. David Arquette was a WCW world champion. Get over it. Mm. And
it's three books.
He carried the belt like it was his. It was so wrong. But unless they do all that, then we'll be back on here talking about it. So, Jesse, tell me what's going on, man. Where can we find you other than the Screaming Boy podcast?
Oh, yeah. Well, Radulich and Broadcasting Network. If you have the opportunity to go over there and just kind of check out the archives, tonight actually dropped a episode that me and Mark Radulich recorded. Man, I want to say it was sometime, maybe January or February. It was a long time ago. Yeah, I made him watch a documentary called Minimalism on Netflix. Oh,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we recorded that and had a discussion. I edited it today, and it dropped earlier this evening, I think around 9 o'clock. So,
nice. Yeah,
if you want to hear, you remember, hey, me and you've been on some documentary diaries. That comes up in the show because.
Very cool.
Yep. So we had a fun time discussing what minimalism is and the effects it could have on your life. And if that's something we could ever try to do, maybe tiny houses also come up. I don't know if you've ever heard of
No. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've heard of it and I understand it. I mean, I'm if you're doing that, I'm all for you.
Yeah.
I'm pulling for you. But I've lived in the tiny apartments, and you know, when I first moved to North Carolina, I literally had a room the size of a closet. You know, I had nothing, you know, but a bed and a TV, and that was it. You know, Wow. That's all I could really fit in it, and I could barely fit the TV in it. And so
it makes you know, it makes excuse me, it changes your life. In other words, I mean, if you have to try and work around that non-existent space, you know, right. It's not there. You've got to try and figure out a way to live in it. So,
I went from living by myself in a nice size apartment to living in a house with five other guys with no room whatsoever. So, me being me, I was like, well, no, I'll need this couch, you know? So I actually rented a storage space, and you know, it wasn't minimalism as we know it.
Yeah.
But you know, the things that I was used to, you know, the couches, the chairs, the, you know, coming into your kitchen and fixing what you want and opening it up, knowing that all of that is your food and no one else's, that kind of went the way of the dodo for a while. And it was a little rough, you know, sharing that space and having little to no space to yourself. Mm. So
it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Well, so you can check that out, that discussion on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network. Also, I do a comic book podcast. Ronnie has been a part of that for quite a bit. It's called Source Material. And recently we did a show on Iron Fist. We discussed 12 issues of Iron Fist, The Living Weapon. And then me and Ronnie got together, did a bonus episode on the first ever meeting in the comic book medium between Power Man, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, mm-hmm. Danny Rand. That was a lot of fun to talk about.
That was.
If anybody has the opportunity, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if anybody has a chance, go check that out. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Absolutely. I'm sorry about that. I stepped all over you, and I apologize.
You're all good.
I was just going to say, you know, I kept saying things, you know, Power Fist in the 70s. Power Fist.
Power Fist.
That sounds like a really, really bad band. So Power Man in the 70s was known for his jive talk. Which was just a terrible, terrible thing. And I was thinking Jesse likes to end Source Material with different kinds of music, and you should have ended it with jive talking.
Oh, I should have. Dang it. Missed opportunity.
That's why you need to pay me more.
Man. That's right.
But anyway, he doesn't pay me, folks. I do it because I love it. But anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. And you can find Screaming Boy on any kind of social media, on Facebook. Just search Screaming Boy Podcast. Twitter is at Screaming Boy PR. Instagram is Screaming Boy Podcast. www.screamingboy.com. And then we have you can find us on the iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and the Radio Legion Broadcasting Network, which you can find on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn up too, I believe. And then that's pretty much it. We just dropped two episodes last week. So 17 and 18, this is number 19. And we're so glad you listened to us. So go on any of those, go on Facebook, give us a look, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, go on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. Get in touch with us through any of those social media outlets or info@screamingboy.com. We want to hear from you, so we hope you have a good evening. We're out. My hip-hop will drop the shot. My hip-hop.